City Council pre-council meeting to order. Joining us via teleconference is Councilman Carl Scala, Councilmember Ian Thomas. With us at the dais is Mr. Matt Pitzer and Councilman Michael Trapp, and I know Councilman Betsy Peters is in the building as well. We have two items on the pre-council agenda, and I'll ask the city manager to introduce the first topic.
You bet. So we want to talk about 912 East Walnut, which is a building and a parking lot that we bought for solid waste for downtown. And so we've gotten everything set up for the parking lot piece. We just want to know what to do with the building now. So I'll let Dave Sorrell talk about that.
Mr. Sorrell.
Thank you. So we bought the property at 910-912 Walnut for a solid waste collection site. At the time we purchased this, we came to council with the idea that we would plat the property into two pieces and sell the portion with the building on it to some other entity. Well, during the time we were acquiring that, and since then, the Historic Preservation Commission has identified that there's potential historic value in the property, and the question of ultimate use of the portion not needed for the solid waste collection site needs to be addressed. So, you know, if we plat it, we've got different options. We could sell that existing structure to some other entity completely unrelated to the city. We could transfer the structure to some other department or division if they would have a use for it for conducting city business. Or we could transfer it to another department just for restoration as a historic property, maybe similar to Blind Boone. I don't know what would be the best use. Maybe it could be just remain as housing or office. You know, for low income, I don't know. I just guess tonight I'm wanting some guidance from the council on how you would like us to determine what we need to do to get rid of this property, or if we just need to sell it, transfer it. I'm open for ideas and would like to do it in a manner that you would be appreciative of.
Any council discussion, any comments, suggestions? Have you been in the property?
I have been in that. I went in with the Historic Preservation Commission when they toured it.
What was its most recent use?
Currently, the house portion of it is three apartments, and they're currently all rented. And then there's that small office space along the street frontage, and it's vacant currently.
Got it. But the three apartments are still active?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are those rents market?
I believe they're competitive for the condition of the property and how the size and everything. I believe we have Hawthorne Management is actually managing that for us.
You know, Mr. Scala, Mr. Thomas, any comments?
Well, I took a look at the questions in the report for this work session, and there seems to be a couple of options. The options are to preserve some of the property more or less for historic preservation purposes, and yet have some practicality with respect to some of the trash collection in the back. So my inclination would be to try and preserve as much of both of those options because they both have merit as possible. On the other hand, we may be in a position that with the rest of council's consent, we may want to go in one direction or another, and then we're facing some severe budget challenges in the future as well. So I'm anxious to hear if there are any other comments with respect to the rest of the city council, but I'm inclined to try and protect our options.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined, and Carl, I'm going to step out for just a minute. I'm inclined to continue with whether it's the current management company or another management or a realtor, and just if there's a way to limit the city's risk either through some type of triple net lease or, you know, if it's an ongoing venture and those apartments are still rented, let someone try to lease that office space, and as long as I assume we've paid for it, there's no debt against it.
We've paid for the property, and then we contract with that agency to lease it and manage it for us.
And at some point, I wouldn't mind to put this in, I'll reiterate the real estate concept that we ought to be managing the city's real estate portfolio better than we are. And this is probably one of those properties that if we could sell it and recover ratepayers' investment for the solid waste division, we should do that. But before we did that, I would probably want to put some type of restrictive covenants on the building so that we preserved its, you know, its street face of that sidewalk and everything that's around it in a meaningful way. I would hate to sell it just for it to be torn down and then you've got another broken tooth surface parking lot, five-story building wedged in between two-story buildings, something like that. But anybody else have thoughts?
I'll jump in. You'll appreciate this because I think you're absolutely right. I like the restrictive covenant idea. I mean, I don't think we want to get into the property management business. We do need to recoup the investment that we put in from the solid waste. At least I think it's worth checking with the CID because the CID, you know, they're going to end up whatever that net costs, having that impact their rates for a decade or so. So we ought to. But they also have some interest in preserving the street face, and I'm not sure how much that would reduce the value of the property. But I think that idea is worth vetting with them, and it seems like it's not a pressing matter to address it. That real estate just generally, in normal times, goes up. So it's probably as safe as any of our other investments for solid waste, but we have to recoup the value for the ratepayers at some point. There's no shortage of good ideas for neat downtown little buildings, but it's how are we gonna, you know, who's gonna pay for it?
Are we incurring any costs either, you know, now or, you know, a year from now, we're going to have to put in some amount of money?
The only cost that we would incur is if we had to do some major work on the building. The minor stuff, we pay for that through the management company. You know, I know that this last month they went in and did an inspection and they had smoke detectors that weren't working. Well, we had to pay for new smoke detectors. But that type of cost, nothing extraordinary at this time.
And you know the length of the leases?
I do not off the top of my head, no, sir.
And after your work is done on the south side?
We got approval from council to do the construction. We've got the electric service in. We still need to do the pavement replacement to support the weight of the compactor and physically get the compactor in there and put the fencing in, which we haven't gotten complete yet.
And once that's done, there's no benefit or there's no advantage or disadvantage to you still owning the property?
No, there's no advantage to us having the building at that point. As far as solid waste division goes, there's no advantage.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, I guess I probably would rather the city not be the long-term owner of this, of the property. How we get there, you know, I mean, there sounds like there might be some decent ideas.
Yeah, I would just go along with it's not a pressing problem, so it's something that we should keep in the back of our minds and at the same time not just keep it forever, but there's no pressing issue with that at the moment.
No, it's not a pressing issue.
All right.
Yeah, I would vet the restrictive covenant sale concept with the relevant stakeholders to make sure that that's something that whether they're accepting of that or not is would be good information for how we want to move forward.
I don't see the mayor there, so I'd like
Mr.
to...
Mr. Scala, I will tell you that Ian Thomas has his hand up. I don't know if you can
that's
see
what
the
I'm, that's what oh. I just noticed that, so I recognize Mr. Thomas.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, well, I think it should be well used, consistent with, you know, our comprehensive plan and city policies and so on. Makes me wonder whether it could be deeded over to the Community Land Trust. Mike, do you have any thoughts on that? Is that
We'd have to pay for it because the sure. because. When we bought that piece of land and we have yet charged it for them, the solid waste district, the solid waste fund paid for it. And then once the housing front part is dealt with, we'll know what that lot cost. And that will be paid out by the downtown solid waste district, whose borders are the same as the community improvement district. So ultimately, that small group of folks are going to have to foot the bill of what the net cost of that property is. So we have to get some value. I mean, we couldn't just give it to the land trust. We would have to someone would have to buy it and for the land trust.
But it would achieve the goal of integrating some, you know, affordable housing with market rate housing right downtown.
That's true.
Seems to me that I don't want to come to any conclusions, but it seems to me like the conversation is leaning towards not being a long-term landowner, but preserving some of our options with respect to solid waste and perhaps looking toward the future of maybe selling this property, but with some restrictions so that some of the protections go along with the property. Is that sufficient for the staff to get an indication of where we're headed, at least at this point?
I believe so.
Great. Anybody else with any comments? If not, maybe we can move on to the next issue.
Okay. So the next issue is the water treatment plant presentation. I believe we had a presentation a few months back, so I just kind of wanted to, and we've had change over at the administrative staff, so I just wanted Dave to bring you up on where we're at with the water treatment plant.
Okay, well, with me tonight, I brought engineering manager David Storvik and engineering supervisor Sean Carrico with me to help answer technical questions that I may not be able to field. Sean's actually going to be the project manager for the city for this project. So I just want to give you a status update. We did the sent out the RFP. We received proposals for design services in April 24th. We conducted consultant interviews May 29th, last Friday. So the interview committee will score all the proposals and the interviews. We got some criteria in there, and we will have a consultant that we recommend decided tomorrow. At that point, we will notify them that they've been selected, and we'll begin negotiations for a detailed scope and a fee for them to perform the design services for this project. My goal is to have that negotiation complete so that the RFP can be put on the Water Night Advisory Board's agenda for their July meeting. And then we'll take into consideration the modifications that they may want to the scope, work with the consultant, and bring it back to council for introduction at the second meeting in July for council's consideration. So the rehabilitation improvements, I mean, will basically consist of restoring the plant's capacity to what it should be, the original 32 MGD, by eliminating some of the hydraulic restrictions that exist in the plant. There's also a potential that the existing plant with the rehabilitation could have more than 32 MGD when it's complete. We plan to replace the primary basin equipment, chemical feed improvements, change the process a little bit to add recarbonation. We're going to have to do some filter and high service pump modifications to improve the filtering process. Electrical upgrades, SCADA upgrades, instrumentation replacement, and hopefully we can get the HVAC and the roof replaced for the facility as well as part of this project. And the scope will also include some further analysis of alternative treatments. So the intent there is to address some advanced treatment options that can be added to the city's current process. It's going to evaluate options that were identified in previous studies and reports and get them basically give us more information that we can use for the planning component in the future when some of those advanced treatment options may be installed at the facility. And then by doing that, they can, in their design, incorporate the potential of putting those into the plant in the future and not prohibit them being able to be installed. So right now, we believe that if we get the design contract awarded in August, that we would have the design complete in the fall of 2021. We'll have to go through the DNR permitting process, and so I think we would be able to bid this project in the winter of 2021, and we estimate that it would take up to 3 years to actually complete all the improvements. So that would be a fall of 2024 completion.
Can you remind me what the price is for this, or what's been estimated?
I believe 23 million total.
23 million
say
total.
24 million.
And we have that bonded. We've got approval to bond that out.
Yes.
Correct?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
Any questions of staff? So, Director, you've taken the bids are coming back June 5th.
This is for the aerators, this next slide.
So where are you at on water treatment?
On the water treatment plant, we've interviewed the consultants Friday.
Who was the interview committee?
There was Sean Carrico, David Storvik, myself.
All in-house?
Aaron Keyes, yes.
Anybody from Water and Light?
Kevin Wiggins, yes, and one outside.
Water and Light Advisory Board?
No.
Anyone from the Water Resources Integrated Resource Plan?
No.
How many responses did you get?
We had four total responses.
How many, and how did their responses compare to the scope of services?
I think they aligned pretty well, pretty good. The interviews went well as well. We have some really good candidates.
I'm sorry, I had to step out for a minute. The chemical feed improvements that were in the original, I guess, Black and Veatch study, that was designed to fix the ammonia feed. Is that right?
John, can you address that, please?
I'm not as familiar with that technically at this point.
Okay.
Sean Carrico, as Dave introduced earlier, engineering supervisor for water. When we talk chemical feed, it's more than just the ammonia, so it does include our chlorine, our ammonia, as well as our lime to the process. Those are the three things that we feed now. There's various improvements that need to be made to all three systems. The lime system is minimal. Chlorine, we did consider several different options for feed there. And then as well with the ammonia setup. But
if your goal was to cease the chloramine disinfection, how does ammonia fit into that?
By adding ammonia with the chlorine, we create the chloramine. So you essentially take the ammonia away and we're back to free chlorine. There's a large number of factors that go into that. As Director Sorrell presented, the further alternative treatment analysis that we're going to do through some pilot testing, we're going to further evaluate many of the alternative treatment technologies. Although it may be possible with our current process and some of the improvements that we're going to make that free chlorine will be an option, it is likely that we'll have to add some advanced treatment to be able to achieve that. So part of the current scope of this design process as we work through that with our selected consultant, we'll be able to further refine those options and
make
a decision.
How does that fit with the actual design component? I mean, if you're evaluating these other treatment options at the same time you're trying to restore capacity of the existing plant with the existing system, how does that all fit? Because if you're rebuilding, I don't want to suggest pouring good money after bad, but if you're rebuilding the existing capacity of the plant, but we don't like the results of that current treatment system, why are we simultaneously going down that road while considering another potential treatment option? Does that make sense?
All the advanced treatment options that we're considering that were identified through the various studies, whether it be the condition assessment or the preliminary design report that the drinking water planning work group was a part of, essentially look at those more as an addition to our existing process. That while there may be some very minor nuances with the improvements, I assure you that we're taking into account how these technologies may or may not fit in the future and making provisions so that we do not have to go back and rework anything we're doing in a future phase. That has been a very key point from my standpoint the whole time frame in my involvement with the consultants and the work we've done thus far.
I mean, it just seems like we've been at this for at least 2 years, 4 years, right?
Yeah.
So how do we get this schedule back on track? Because the last representation of this council was it was going to bid and contract awarded in December of 19. And here we are 6 months into 20. Maybe that's a director question.
Say, well, as I said earlier, when you stepped out of the room, that we've got the consultant. We're gonna make final selection tomorrow, and then we're gonna ask for a detailed scope and a cost, and we'll negotiate that. And my goal is to have that on the Water and Light Advisory Board agenda for their meeting in July. And then we can take input from the Water and Light Advisory Board, make whatever changes to the scope that they would recommend with the consultant, and then bring that agreement to council for consideration at the second meeting in July, final action in August, first meeting. And then that'll have a time frame for the consultant to complete the design services, which we anticipate to be basically a year, somewhere close to that. And then we'd go through DNR permitting and bid, and then it's a 3-year construction project. Why it has taken so long at this point, I do not know the answers to that.
I mean, these aren't our imposed deadlines. These are the department's self-imposed deadlines and representations to us.
So what I'm presenting to you tonight, I full well intend to achieve as far as the time frames.
And I mean, is it really an upgrade, or is it simply a restoration?
Or it's a little bit of both, but mostly restoration.
So you were beginning to tell me about the aerators, and I mean the 50% capacity of the aerators was something that Black and Veatch identified in what, 2014? That was causing part of the sludge problem that we've been paying more for to haul off because we're overproducing that byproduct. And then I heard we are going to bid with the aerators. Then I heard we can fix them ourselves. And now apparently we're incorporating it into the water treatment plant upgrade restoration.
Let me go ahead and go through this piece. So we bid this about the same time we put out the RFP for the plant design, and then there was some contractors that were interested in bidding on it, but we had the stay-at-home order in place. They didn't want to come to the plant. We weren't allowing any visitors in, so we extended the bid closing date until this Friday. The aerators don't work very efficiently right now. We all know that, and they need to be replaced. And we can replace them based on these bids that we get back Friday. However, I am concerned myself about replacing them prior to, or replacing them separate from the water plant rehab or improvement, whichever way you want to call it, because if it turns out that the water plant will end up having more capacity than 32 MGD, putting an 8 MGD aerator in, when we end up, maybe we need 10 MGD aerators to get all four trains, that there's a potential that we may spend a bunch of money on aerators right now that we would have to do modifications or rework in the future. All four units operate, they don't operate efficiently, and they need to be replaced. The problem is one unit can't be placed into service, not because it doesn't work, but because the piping going to it has failed, and we could replace that piping this summer and get that aerator to where it could be placed into service at any time.
Can you do that in-house, or is that something else that you
would take? We would probably have to have some fittings fabricated by a contractor, but we could probably do the rest of it in-house, yes. And that would make that aerator be able to be placed in service should one of the others, you know, have an electrical problem or whatever. You can just immediately put it into service, and then we would have full capacity of the aerators, even though they're not working at 100%, but then we could incorporate the aerators into the plant project, and that would prevent us from maybe spending money twice, or, you know, if they say ultimately these aerators need to move to a different location or something, we wouldn't put them in and then be moving them again. And, I mean, it's going to take a DNR permit application to replace these aerators. That's going to extend the time frame to get them replaced. I just think it would be a much better approach to put it with the plant project. But I mean, we can replace them as they are today, either way. I have a fear that if we replace them now, that we may end up having to do more work to them.
But what's the disconnect between the previous between Black and Veatch's assessment, condition of assessment, prior representations to council and your representation now? Is that just an engineering disagreement? Is it?
Well, I'm not intimately familiar with Black & Veatch's assessment. I believe their assessment said they weren't.
Well, we paid $400,000.
I know. I just haven't been able to get intimately familiar with it yet. Their assessment identifies them as not functioning efficiently. I don't know off the top of my head if it actually recommended replacement as a high priority.
I don't know what prioritization they put on it, but they did attribute, as my recollection was, they attributed it to part of the problem with the deficiencies really promoting the sludge problem.
It adds to the amount of lime.
We're now evaluating whether to pump into the river or keep hauling it off.
Hauling it off like our permit requires currently. So, I mean, I'd be happy to go ahead and replace them now. I just think we would have a better product in the end, long term, if we fix the piping so we can use the aerator that we have.
Again, I don't want ratepayers to have to pay twice for
That's
something.
What I'm a fear that I have is that.
But right now they're paying for nothing.
We'll pay for it, and then we'll have to upgrade that we just put in brand
right.
new. So I would like to basically put them in with the project. And you know, that's something that if we work the scope out, there's a potential that we could, and it's actually been suggested by the consultant, that we could take small packages that once they're done and they know what that is and go ahead and bid them. So you would actually bid it in more than one big project for one contractor to do. Maybe we could accelerate that piece of it.
So you raised a good point. I mean, just how do you, once design is complete and construction begins, how do you take down certain components of that plant to begin the restoration to full capacity? I mean, it seems like there are several vulnerable components. There's only one raw water line that's coming in. How do you take down, is there a way to make this more modular or to set up a separate process train that can function as a bypass as you're doing these others and maybe evaluate some of those alternative treatment
methods?
And
that will be something that the designer will have to evaluate as far as constructability. But I mean, I can say that, you know, each train down there has the capability of processing 8 million gallons a day.
And our current usage is?
We've never hit 24, ever. So we should be able to take one train down very safely at any time and be able to rehabilitate the basins in that train and still have adequate capacity because we've never seen a 24 MGD day. You know, the raw water coming in, well, that'll have to be timed. It'll have to have, you know, we'll have to make certain that we've got enough water in the reservoirs in town, and they'll have a very limited time frame of when they can cut that pipe open to add the second supply line such as that. I mean, we did it on Scott Boulevard when the second 36-inch line was brought up, and we had to make certain we had all our towers full, all our reservoirs full, shut the plant off, do the tie-in, and then get everything back up and running. So, I mean, it's things that have to be thought of as it's being designed as far as constructability to ensure that we can take things down and still provide adequate water.
So it's been a while since I've read that RFP. How much flexibility did you give to the respondent in terms of their approach or methodology into evaluating alternative treatment methods, having a second, you know, process train or a modular function? Was that pretty open-ended? Was it pretty prescriptive? And what
they've got a lot of flexibility in that. And that's, at this point now, is when we start doing the detailed scope, is we'll nail that stuff down.
And
much
and
more detailed
within
than
the confines of the confidential RFP process, did you have a, were you fairly pleased, but do you think the respondents provided a thoughtful approach to this issue?
I do. I was pleased with the responses. I think that, you know, they all were good, and some people put a lot more thought in it, a lot of, more thought than maybe they should have at the RFP stage of the game without actually having been selected, but there's some very good ideas.
All right. Mr. Scali, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm just a little bit confused. This is a very complicated issue. By way of disclosure, I served on that drinking water planning group. And a lot of what we did at that point was spend, to your point, Mr. Mayor, about taking some of the time to do this. That was a several month process with a very, very complicated list of options and a process by which we went through to decide which options might best fit and the recommendations to make to the city council. As I recall, there were probably three options with respect to how much these things cost. And that really, what we did do in that drinking water planning group was certainly decide that the upgrading the capacity to restoring the capacity to 32 MGD was the first priority, and that was the first thing to address. I must admit that we didn't really talk very much, if at all, maybe just in passing, about the aerators at that time. That was something that the city council took up after that group had issued its report. But the drinking water planning group really had to do with the recommending the upgrade to 32 MGD and then later taking on issues as to whether or not to switch from chloramine to chlorine and so on and how much those changes would cost. And I have to tell you that those were not unanimous recommendations, but they were majority recommendations, and that's what the council had. But just asking the staff here, I thought I heard you say that what we had in front of us had more to do with the aeration component than it did with the capacity component. And it was my impression that a lot of this was about dealing first with the capacity, which is different than as to whether or not we're going to change the structure of how we treat the water. What is it that we're looking at? Just the aeration features here or the capacity features or both?
Both. The first piece I talked about was for the capacity or the rehabilitation of the plant. And then separately from that, we bid out the aerator replacements. And at this point, I think that both of those should be tied together as one comprehensive project, as opposed to doing aerators with the possibility maybe having to modify what we have just completed.
And what you're saying is essentially this is compartmentalized to the extent that we can take a quarter of these off at a time and repair them. And that might be the prudent thing to do in terms of spending money. But the future decisions that the council has to make as to whether or not once the capacity is restored and this aeration issue is settled, the future issues have to do with just how much money is invested and where we want to go with respect to the type of treatment, whether we want to change or stay with what we have now or change to another. Chlorine would be significantly more expensive. It has some real benefits. But that was the essence of what the Corallo engineers were telling us in terms of going through all of these models as potential models that might be acceptable for upgrading the plant beyond capacity, but also in terms of water treatment. So I'm frustrated too with how long this takes, but I can assure you that the discussions that we had in that drinking water planning group were very complicated, and frankly I was rather proud of the group that they came up with the three options to recommend to the city council for the council's consideration moving forward.
Well, it's not just how long it takes, Mr. Scal. I mean, we were given information as early as 2014 that the aerators were 50% defective. We were told in the fall of 2019 that one was completely inoperational and that an aerator RFP was being pushed through ahead of the water treatment plant RFP, and now it's obviously coming after the fact and may or may not even be included as a standalone product.
No, I'm not trying to be defensive here. I mean, with the drinking water planning group really didn't take up the issue of aeration. It dealt mainly with capacity issues and water treatment issues on down the road. But the aeration thing obviously has become quite a controversial topic here, partly because of what seems to be longstanding delays.
Director, you made an off-the-cuff remark about we should just continue hauling residuals rather than building a pipeline to the river. Is that your official position?
That's my position at this point in time, is that I don't think that we have value to go into the river with our residuals, that we need to continue to do land application.
So the department came to us with a contract to evaluate whether or not to build that pipeline and what it would cost to obtain DNR approval for it. I voted against it. Are you now abandoning that?
I think the work's been complete now.
I'm sorry?
I said I believe the work has all been completed, and now it's a matter of do we want to move forward with seeing if DNR would permit that, but...
You executed a contract and...
That was done a long time ago, and then that deal in December, I believe, was an amendment to that contract. We have not executed a contract since I've been there for that.
It was an amendment to a current consulting agreement? It still cost us like $30,000, though, right?
I think it was more than that. But based on what I know about it and the costs and all that, I don't see it as a viable option for us right now because we don't have the capital money to put into a project like that. And, you know, we can continue to do the land disposal of our residuals, which is what's currently required by our operating permit that we have.
Or we could decrease the amount of residuals being produced by fixing the aeration.
And with the rehab of the plant and aeration and all that, we will reduce the amount of residuals that are being produced each year.
Mr. Pitzer?
So how much of the $400,000 budget increase for the lime residuals is attributable to the fact that the aerators are deficient?
I can't give you a number right now, but if you want me to do some work on that, I could do some.
Well, I mean, if they were brand new, would that be zero, or would it be still be something in there?
No, the aerators are not going to contribute to anywhere near a half or a quarter of the residuals we produce. They cause use of more lime, but I would need to do some calculations to get you an idea of how much.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, I mean, they do cause you to need to use more lime to achieve the softening result, but it's not a huge, huge magnitude by any means.
And we've increased the budget for the lime residuals for hauling the lime residuals a couple times, haven't we?
We're proposing to increase it with the next year's budget. I believe it was reduced the previous year's budget.
I thought it was increased, and then we didn't, you know, we didn't spend anywhere near that much. And
We didn't spend anywhere near that much because of the flooding conditions, and we couldn't get to it to haul it out that year, if I understand correctly. Last summer when it was flooded, we couldn't get to the basins to actually get the material out and haul it out, if I understand correctly.
So you mentioned that the work in that contract to examine the piping of the residuals to the river was completed.
I believe that's complete, isn't it? The study report's complete.
Okay. Was that something that you were going to be bringing to us or
that
for
is
evaluation?
A decision that would need to be made that I haven't really sat down, and I have not yet read the report to bring it, to even consider whether or not I would want to bring that forward. But what I do know of it, my instinct is that that's probably now is not the appropriate time for us to be talking about building a pipeline to the river.
Because of the cost?
Because of the cost. I don't think you're not going to get a cost recovery that's going to make sense.
And the aerators, ballpark, what's the cost of replacing just those if you did it as a standalone project?
What is that budgeted? $1.3 and $1.4 million. And we could do the pipe modifications so that that fourth unit could be put into place, guessing for between $10,000 and $20,000 to have the parts manufactured and then us to install it with in-house staff.
And if you wrap it into the restoration of the whole plant, it's going to be 2024 or 25 before that work's done?
Well, that could be done as an early bid package and get it done quicker, or we could stipulate that has to be done at the beginning of the project.
All right, no, I'm just trying to do some mental math about $400,000 increase in number of years. And so the scope of the work that you outlined tonight, has that scope changed at all from 2 years ago?
The scope that was in the RFP that we modified after your December council meeting is what went out for responses, and that's what we just interviewed for on Friday.
And was that any different than in 2018 when we were talking, when before the bond election, we said, okay, this is the scope of the work that will be done with the bond funding? Do you know about that?
I do not know the answer to that, sir.
On the alternative treatment, so what is the end result that we're, what's the question that we're trying to answer with all of the alternative treatment analysis and pilot testing?
Sean's been much more involved in that detail, and I'll ask him if he can answer that.
The essential goal of the alternative treatment analysis with this phase of the project would be to take what we did with both the condition assessment and the drinking water planning work group and Corolla's update, further evaluate the options that were shortlisted, and develop more refined cost estimates. We need that to make decisions from the standpoint that we are discussing items that are not regulated by the state. From the department's perspective, I feel that it's really our consumers, our customers' decision when it comes to things of that nature. These will likely come with a decent price tag, which will come with an associated rate increase if we choose to incorporate them. If they're regulated, it's an easier answer. But we're currently talking about items that are not regulated. So that almost becomes a consumer choice from our view as a department. So that's, we would like to further evaluate them with the pilot testing phase, which will enable us to refine cost estimates on the, as I said, the shortlisted items. And you know, technology changes every day. I'm not going to be surprised if our selected consultant doesn't say, hey, we've made great progress with this technology, and we may give it consideration. But right now, our primary focus is the shortlisted alternatives from the drinking water planning work group and Corolla's update of their study.
So those shortlisted alternatives, are those treatments of the water, or is it the conditions of the water at the end of the treatment process? What are those specifically?
In all cases, it's additional processes to our existing process of what was shortlisted. You know, one of the primary focuses at the end was GAC, and that can be our granular activated carbon, and that can be incorporated in several different manners in the plant, and we'll rely on our consultant to take a hard look at that and make a recommendation to us. There are options, you know, some more expensive than others as to how we incorporate them into the plant. Rather, you utilize it in your existing filters, or do you add a totally secondary set of filters with GAC in them? So all those things we'll be evaluating so that, like I said, we can produce a harder cost estimate and then really evaluate what the rate impact would be to the customers.
Okay, I'm just trying to remember if the shortlisted options were things like GAC, you know, several discrete and options, or they were, you know, this is the end result that we want for our water.
No, we did not define water quality goals as part of that process. We shortlisted three base alternatives, and then I believe there were three, don't quote me, I believe there were three alternative treatment that could be added to those three base alternatives, and they came in different combinations. That is all summarized in the report there. So there's various combinations, but no, we did not define the water quality parameters we wanted to achieve. We are looking to do that with the work we'll do with the upcoming design to define those water quality goals of where we want to be.
So who will be defining those?
I think that's a future decision. As I said, I think it's important to us as a department that we be very public with that discussion, because right now we are talking about things that are unregulated and they inevitably will come with a cost. So we're very concerned about that. and being transparent with that. And somehow, yes, we're going to have to hear from our customers as we go through some of that. So, Dave, you want to add to that?
I'll say, as part of the scope of this project, there is a public process involved, and we're going to, I envision it to be open house, public type meetings, similar to like what I envisioned was what we did with the integrated management plan with wastewater and stormwater, where as we get information back from the consultant on different aspects of this, we'll have periodic public meetings, and that's where those goals would have to be established based on what these alternative investigations reveal as what's the possibilities, and then what do we want to try to achieve. But that will be a public process involved in this whole design.
Right. So wouldn't you define the goal first?
Well, I think if we've shortlisted down the different alternatives that are supposed to be looked at, we're going to have to look and see what they are capable of before we say, you know, this can or can't be met, because then if we say, well, that's not good enough, then we could say, well, we need to look at a different alternative. Yes. Huh? Yes, sir.
You're going to have to go to
Would
the
you
mic.
Use the microphone, please.
We did identify one water quality goal with the drinking water work group, and it was essentially to return to pre-chlorine. So,
return to pre-chlorine?
Yeah, so essentially any process they look at is going to be in trying to achieve that.
Did you look at any goals? Or goal's the right word, but if we redefined the source water, did you look at what it would take to then treat the water, or what processes would be required?
That is included in this design process that will be included in the scope that we bring back with you. For your consideration, they will be looking at that as part of the design of the plant to ensure that if we get reclassified, we would still be able to meet water quality standards.
Okay. So you're going to be asking us to look at reclassifying the source water?
No, we're going to address the rehabilitation with the fact that that could happen in mind, so that our plant would still be able to meet standards.
Okay, but that wouldn't happen until after the rehabilitation?
It would be incorporated as part of it. So if today we're classified as groundwater, if we were classified as groundwater under the influence, we have different standards. And so that will be incorporated in the design, so that if that were to happen, we would still be able to meet the regulations.
And who determines that, Dave? What we're classified?
Department of Natural Resources.
So that's so they make that decision single-handedly, not if just based on the water quality?
I believe that's correct.
Is it not correct? Isn't that a DNR classification?
They determine what it's classified, not us.
Let me ask that a different way. Are you going to evaluate the four responses to the RFP with the desired improvement being focused on repairing the plant to restore chlorine-only disinfection as the methodology here?
Yes, that is being incorporated in our evaluation. Okay. I mean, that was referenced by the respondents.
Okay. What choice are you going to bring back to us? You're going to have a public process to evaluate the four responses?
No, we're going to, the selection committee will select the consultant, then we'll bring back to you a detailed scope of services that consultant's going to provide as they do the design for the rehabilitation of the plant. And that's what we would ask for you to approve as the consultant is doing the work on the design and doing alternative analysis and all that, that's when we will have the public input meetings, and then we will come back with the regular interested parties meeting, public hearing for council, and that's when then we'll have the more end decisions would need to be made. And we may do that in multiple stages if we do early bid packages.
Okay. So while Mr. Pitzer was inquiring, I went back and looked at some of your peak flow. In 2012, you hit 23.6 MGD, and in 2016, you hit 21.46.
Mm-hmm. That's the, if I recall correctly, the 2012 is the highest peak that this facility's ever had.
You had mentioned in your remarks that in order to phase in this construction without a separate process train, that you would need to have all the reservoirs, elevated storage, full before you took the plant down.
That's like if we were going to actually limit the ability of the plant to produce. So we wouldn't want to do a project like you were talking about, raw water influent. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't want to do that type of project in July and August when we have to produce a lot of water. We would want to do that in the spring or in the fall when we're at low production days, where our average day is more 11 or 12 million gallons a day, and then make sure everything in town has capacity for the period of time the plant would be out of service.
So my point here is also included in that August 2018 bond issue was an elevated storage tank in the 5th Ward. Where are we on that in terms of both securing a location for it and going out to bid for the construction thereof?
We, as you're aware, we had a piece of property that we had looked at to do fire station, salt dome, water tower, all that, and that has kind of fallen through. We've identified a couple other locations, and so we need to come back to council and see if you're interested in us pursuing acquisition of one of those properties, and as soon as we get a property, then we can go out for the project, for RFP for that.
Is that currently in process?
Yes, sir.
When do you expect that to come back?
We've just identified the properties, and I need to talk to Mr. Glasscock about what's my process of trying. Do we contact property owner first? I don't think that's right. I think we need to probably have a closed work session with council to show you which properties we've identified.
All right. While we're in this early phase, what type of accountability exists on the water treatment plant RFP when you let a contract? Are there strict construction guidelines? Is there a bonus for finishing early? Is there a penalty for finishing late?
When it actually comes time for construction of the actual
design and construction.
Design and construction. The design is going to have, so there'll be penalties if they're late on getting the design completed.
Okay.
And that's with the engineering consultant. And then we'll have construction contracts with the contractor, and there's always penalties in those if you don't get it completed on time. I don't believe we've ever done a contract that had a bonus if you complete it early, but that's something that we could definitely look at. But they all have liquidated damages if you don't complete the project on time.
All right. And do you think that would be consistent with your representations to council in terms of the time frame?
I believe
fall of 24?
Yes. Yes. I intended to represent to you what I believed was the realistic time frame for completion of this project.
Mr. Scali, you had your hand up again.
Yes, just a couple of clarifications. Some for Mr. Pitzer. There he was asking about some of the cost considerations. The drinking water planning group did consider things like options like granulated activated carbon or membrane technology, and all of those come with associated costs. Some from less expensive to some with much more expensive. And by the way, that drinking water planning group, although recommended a majority recommendation to switch from chloramine, which we currently use, to chlorine treatment, that also has quite a cost. That has not yet been determined by the city council, nor has it been before the public in terms of what they're willing to pay for in order to switch over to that. But as I recall, and I haven't looked at the report in some time, but we're talking on the range of within millions to hundreds of millions, depending on what it is that we decide that we want, which model to follow. And I think the remark was also made that DNR decides the end product, if you will. We can go beyond that. We can go beyond the restriction, the classification that they make. That too comes with a price tag, and that would have to be discussed by the public and with the city council in terms of where we eventually go with respect to water treatment in general.
Well, I guess that was my question. It was, you know, when we're going to have that discussion about going, you know, potentially going beyond. So, you know, I'm kind of hearing over here that there is no discussion, that the decision is made for us, but you're telling me that we can go beyond that.
That's right. Well, you can always go beyond what the state determines is if you want to pay for it, or some of the options that were recommended by the Corallo engineers when we had the drinking water planning group. But it's going to require the public to get involved in this discussion as well when we start talking about how much this is going to cost.
But that's not part of your scope right now to have that discussion, is it?
No, the scope right now is to investigate the alternatives that were previously identified. But we'll have public meetings as part of that. But the scope to actually design any of those or move forward with installation of those is not included with this project.
But wasn't one of the goals or objectives from one of the drinking water groups to do just that, to meet the requirements of groundwater under influence?
The groundwater under direct will be addressed with this project. It's going to the free chlorine that won't necessarily be achieved with this project. But the alternatives that would be required in order to achieve that will be identified. It's just not funded to actually put them in, and that's the part that gets real expensive.
So there were two other major parts in the initial bond funding, the new Southeast pump station and the West Ash upgrades. Where are we with those?
Both those RFPs have been out and interviews are scheduled. Yeah, they'll be scheduled within the next, well, the schedule will be set next week to interview the consultants on both of those projects.
And you have a, do you have a site already for the pump station?
For the pump station, we do not have a site. We have a site identified we'd like. Yes, and I probably need to bring that and the water tower both back at the same time for consideration.
Okay.
Any further inquiry? Thank you. We do need to take a hard break before the 7 o'clock meeting.
Can I say something first, Mayor?
You may.
I'd support Dave's effort to hold off on the aerators and do it with this RFP, and we will fix the piping to the broken aerator for a few tens of thousands of dollars instead of spending much more. So we're probably going to fix that fourth aerator that way and put it in with the RFP as far as the aerators. Correct, Dave?
That would be my recommendation, would be to combine our aerator project with the plant project, and we'll fix the piping going to the aerator so that it can be placed into service. And if we run all four of them instead of, if we only need two or three, that will help with the lime problem. But we can actually use that aerator instead of it being sitting there without being able to be turned on.
That gives us 28 million MGD.
With three, we have 24 MGD capacity if everything's running at full capacity. With four, we could go 32, but we've never needed more than the 24.
Yeah. We'll fix the piping.
Okay. Mr. Scala, comment?
Yeah, just a point of order. When we take a hard break with these Zoom meetings, all of the microphones are on during the break that we have in between this work session and the regular council meeting session. So folks are aware that all of this conversation can be heard.
Thank you. We won't be long. Okay, the pre-council meeting is adjourned, and we will reconvene in a minute or two for the regular council.